Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I'm Bill Moss, your host and founder of Citizens Against Terrorism. You can find us at citizensagainstterrorism.org on our website. If you're interested in joining, go to the Facebook rally point at the top of the page and click on it. Look over the page first, see what we're about. You'll be sent to our Facebook page where you will need to click on the join button. Deborah and I have a special show for you tonight. During last night's broadcast, we found out that an officer had been shot in Louisville, Kentucky. Our co-host that was on with us, Philip, he called in and he got a call and while we were on the air, and it told him that an officer had been shot. And minutes later, we learned a second officer had been shot at the same time, at the same place also.
Wow. You know, Bill, they are really targeting our cops, and we need to help them. You know, people need to stand up and put a stop to it, right? I mean, help.
Right.
It is obvious that the government has no intention to stop this.
You know, you're so right, neighbor. Even the governor of Kentucky intends to make it worse. Now, I have to say this. He intends to make it worse. Why on earth would he stand up and say Kentucky is a racist state? He is trying to paint a target on this whole state. Why would he want to do that? Why would he want to do that? You know, and I can be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. We've been in the streets here, okay? I wish Philip was here tonight to talk about it. We've been in the streets. Okay, and we have seen racist white people, racist black people, and they've all been on the side that's doing all of the destruction. We go in to keep the peace. We go in to protect them as well as anybody else. But just because we're there and because we're white, or because we, you know, we might be carrying weapons or something, then automatically we're white supremacists, we're racist, you know. And this is the tool of the left. You take and reflect your weakness on the other person. So they're busy defending themselves for not being what you are. Now, if you don't believe me, go get Saul Alinsky's books, Rules for Radicals. You can read it in there. You know, I think a lot of conservatives and Christians alike need to read that book, because when they run into these people with these verbal attacks, you'll know how to turn them back on. I love doing it. I love doing it because they'll start on me and I start playing their game with them, and then they don't know how to react to it because they're used to throwing it out. They're used to trying to talk over you. You ever notice if you watch on an interview and there's somebody on there and this liberal person doesn't like what they're saying, they get louder and get louder. They try to overtalk them, you know. And I can think of one in particular is Chris Hahn. He gets on Fox News a lot on the night shows, and he's the rudest guy. He is the rudest guy. He spouts off infactual facts. There's no truth to the facts that he's spouting off. He pulls them out of the top of his head, and then he says, well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, you can't do that. You can't argue with a person that has no mind to argue with. You know, it reminds me of a biblical verse that says, don't be caught in a fool's folly. You know, and that's what these people act like. They're racist. They are the racist. They are the racist. And I want to say, not all the black people in Louisville are racist, okay? Because while all these people were in town raising Cain, I went through the West End. I went through the West End. Five of us went through the West End. I had elderly black people and younger black people both wave at us. There wasn't none of that. You know, and all the ones downtown, yeah, go into the West End. Well, you know what? I've redone a lot of those houses down there, and I know a lot of them people, you know. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, they're hollering that, you know, if you're a conservative, if you're a Christian, then you're a white supremacist and racist. And that's farther from the truth than it ever could be. You know, I've got a, you know, and if you see my YouTube videos, I do have both an American and a Confederate flag with a Don't Tread on Me insignia on it. But that, to me, represents the same thing it represented. That was not a battle flag. That was not a battle flag. And I want to explain to people what that was. The 13 stars are the 13 original states to secede. The red is the blood of Christ, and the blue cross, that's a cross. That's supposed to be a cross. The blue cross is the cross of St. Andrew, the patron saint of the Scots. And most of us people come from Scottish blood somewhere in our heritage. And that, to me, is as important as the other one, because I had people that followed that flag into battle, looking at it as a reminder of Christianity, and God was going to keep them safe. That was not a battle flag. That was a banner of faith. And the American flag, I would die for it as well. So I just want to make that clear, because, I mean, I know people's going to see that on my YouTube videos, you know, and I've done had one smart aleck remark. But if you do a little bit of studying and a little bit of history, you learn things. And that's the problem with this country right now. We're erasing the history, and I'm getting way off base, so I'm going to just stop right where I'm at before I get too mad, because I want to try to be a little bit more friendly on this show tonight. And I tell you why, because we've got a tribute coming up, and I want to be able to do that with dignity for those who deserve the tribute. And that's why I'm just going to hush my mouth right now.
Well, yeah, Bill, you don't need to. I did want to talk about a couple of things. Firstly, you bring up it always goes back to the media. And I just keep going back to a movie that was popular in the 80s with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Running Man. There's a lot of them that did Total Recall. He did a slew of them. But even though they're dystopian sci-fis, not to be taken seriously, we have to look at what's going on here. And I just want to, for all of our listeners right now, I want to really plead with everyone to stop believing what they hear. First of all, if I'm watching a press briefing with anyone, they're in disagreement with the left or with the agenda, whatever that is, then all of a sudden they start asking questions. And I don't know if everybody's noticed this, but if you go to the tail end, for example, of the press briefing at the White House, then all of a sudden everybody's gone. Kayleigh McEnany's gone. President Trump, all the people are out. They're in the back. The door's shut. And these people are still spouting their mouths off, the media. And what happens is the next day, I scan all the news, the printed news, the internet news, the TV news on my internet. And guess what I see, Bill? I see what was said when the door was closed. They are still talking, and they have printed what they have asked the people that were long gone so that they can put it on print. Oh, they wouldn't answer our questions. We asked them, why is there so many people dead, or this or that? And they're not even the people that were up there giving the information, like the administration. They're not even in the hell in the room. And I've got to say, stop watching any of the media. And if you can't help it because you're so addicted to the drama and the lies, then please at least take it at face value and say they believe, they have found out that us as Americans and us as a people, as human beings, if we hear it, we believe it, because we can't imagine them standing up there and lying to us. And I want to really stress that, please, start doing your homework. And then when you start uncovering the rabbit and you go deep into the hole, then uncover more and make sure that you get to the bottom of the hole where you can't dig anymore right now. And then you can be assured that you might have some correct information, and then go with your instinct. You know, after the grand jury verdict in the Breonna Taylor case, we all knew we would be in trouble. And here, the governor of the great state of Kentucky, it's our state, it's our state of the union, calls y'all a racist. He had to know this would mean trouble. Bill, can you tell me why he would do such a thing?
You know, Deborah, I don't know. I mean, that's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He wants to see his state in ashes. That's all I can say. He wants to see this state in ashes. I guess he wants them to come on and keep burning eastward until they get to Kentucky and burn it down too. I mean, you know, they're already trying to burn it down. He's doing nothing to stop them. He's doing nothing to stop them. They finally let the police make 128 arrests yesterday. Finally, 128 arrests after over 100 days, you know, well over 100 days of this going on. It's been going on since, I think, the 26th. I think it was the day after George Floyd died. They've been rioting in Louisville. The place looks like a war zone. It does not look like the hometown I grew up in. And they destroy it. And the whole time, you know, I'm up there to protect it. And they're telling me, well, you don't belong here. You ain't got no business here. Get out of here, honky. You know, and that's the kind of attitude they've got up there. They're going to destroy that town. And Mayor Fisher's not going to do a thing and to stop it. Okay. And the other thing is he also said, even though that they found that the attorney general said that the law says that the other two officers could not be prosecuted by Kentucky state law. Even though the attorney general says that, Mayor Fisher said today, well, we might press charges on them for murder yet. And I mean, that's the type of people that's running Kentucky right now in the big cities. And Louisville's the biggest city. And you got this clown Fisher that's letting them come in. They shot at the National Guard. They shot at the police. They both returned fire. One of the people out in the protest gets shot. Okay? One of the people out in the protest gets shot. They're in the crossfire. Somebody's shooting at you. You got to shoot back. You do your best not to hit the wrong person, but you do your best to shoot back. You don't have time in a shootout, you know, to worry about the people that's there to harm you anyway. And so they make a saint out of this guy because he owns some kind of store, I don't know, barbecue joint or something. They make a saint out of him. The next day, the mayor and the governor tell the National Guard, you can't have guns here. This is ridiculous. When we walked into the street of Louisville between 5th and 6th on Jefferson Street, there was at least 1,000 AR-15s and at least 2,000 or 3,000 handguns in that one city block. And they weren't in the hands of the National Guard. They were in the hands of the rioters that were there to cause trouble and, as they say, burn the bitch down. Now, that's what it was. And I don't understand why our governor would act this way. I don't understand why that mayor would act this way. And, you know, I'm leaving the politics aside. I'm leaving the parties aside on this. Any man that goes in there and his city's being destroyed and he says, put your guns down, boys. You're not allowed to have them while they're shooting at you. That man is a coward. He's an instigator of the problem. He is supporting the problem by his actions. And so is Governor Beshear. I don't care if he was Republican, independent, or belonged to the Whig Party. It's the same darn thing. You cannot hamstring your police. You cannot hamstring your National Guard. You need to send them in with what they need to do to get the job done. And I'm sick and tired of watching these guard people and these federal officers and everything have to hold back. You know, thank God, I guess, they better thank God I'm not president. Because I'd have done hit the Resurrection Act. I'd say, That's it. The Insurrection Act of 1945. I'd have done hit that. I'd have sent the guard into each state. I'd have replaced the mayor, the governor of each state with the commander of the guard. That is his ability to do that. And that mayor, that governor can then turn around and in turn fire every mayor that's allowing this to go on and put somebody in their place to a special election can be run to stop this. And so thank yourself lucky, boys and girls. You're out there playing your games and you're killing people. But if I would ever decide to run for president, you'd have a hard road to go. You're crying about being in jail for 10 years. You'd be crying about being in the ground the rest of your not life. And that's all I got to say on that. I'm getting upset again. I don't want to do that because what's coming up? What do you think, Deb?
Well, you know, you brought up a lot. And you know, when we were talking the last day about what's going on in Louisville and around the country, of course, it didn't light up like they're claiming the streamers we were watching. The National Guard and the state troopers and the police and they're saying they're going to light it up on us. No, you're saying you're going to burn the bitch down. There's a big deal here. I was watching. I want to talk about this. I was watching a little bit of the Homeland Security congressional hearing this morning with our FBI director, Christopher Wray, and we had the DHS guy. I really like him. I'm not going to start name-dropping names. It's not important. I think what was important is a couple of things were brought up. First of all, yeah, you know, we hear these Democratic lawmakers and some Republicans who are independents, but mostly Democratic lawmakers have claimed that Antifa doesn't exist. And I even have that on print. It's actually on print with one of the publications online and whatnot. The Post-Millennial America, they're good, strong. They're careful about what they print and what they carry out. But they, you know, they always claim that Antifa doesn't exist and there are no highly organized efforts to facilitate street violence in America. And I want you to talk about what you were going to tell me about this U-Haul event after right before we got on the air. But the one thing I heard in the Homeland Security congressional hearings was the Democrats claim this isn't going on. We're all peaceful here. Well, agreed. 95% of the protesting has been peaceful, but the amount, 110 plus days of protesting, but the 5% that have been rioting have destroyed billions and millions and billions of dollars, killed people, maimed people, changed lives, destroy businesses. And here's that one point that was brought up, and I wanted you to talk about this, because when you protest for that many days, now it isn't protesting. You're taking away the Bill of Rights and the constitutional rights of all of us for life, liberty, and the pursuit of damn happiness. If you're out there on our streets shutting our damn businesses down for 110 days, we can't go shopping, we can't go anywhere safely, where are our rights? First Amendment rights to go to church are no good for us, all of us churchgoers, but they're okay for you to protest and then turn 5% riot, which is a lot of rioting. I've been watching it for 100 out of 110 days. Bill, what do you think about that?
I think it's pitiful. I watched an older couple a while ago. It was down in Florida. I don't remember the name of the town, but I think it was around Jacksonville. And they were sitting down on a sidewalk cafe type thing, you know, because a lot of the restaurants still won't let you inside. I guess that might have been why they were doing that. And they were sitting there to eat. And these punks come up and start harassing them. We've seen them go into restaurants and harass people while they're there, screaming in their face, making them stick their hand up and say Breonna Taylor or George Floyd. This is ridiculous. I don't have to say a darn thing. And thank God I said it that way. I don't have to say a darn thing. What I got to do is hold my head up, and I will not do that. And, you know, the person lays a hand on me, they got a problem. The person pulls a weapon on me, got a real problem. And, you know, it come real close to that back of this. And, you know, I'm not going to play their games. I pay more taxes in that city probably than any of them out in the street have ever paid. You understand what I'm saying? Because I had a construction company. I had 25 people working for me, 13 crews at work, 13 subcontractors at work, 2 crews apiece. And I had to pay taxes on all that. So I own a piece of that town. And I've got my life's blood and sweat in it. And anytime I decide I want to walk down Jefferson Street or Muhammad Ali or I want to go into the West End, I go. And the people that know me there know I go, and they understand, you know, I'm a good man. I get along with people. I do what I can for them. I help them out. And so we get along. But these people that's coming in here, I think most of the time we've been finding the arrest rates have been at least 45 to 60% out-of-town people that are there. Louisville, if you want to know where this trouble's coming from, drive over to Hirschborn. Look at all the buses set over there, the Antifa buses and the BLM buses set over there. They're housing them in these nice hotels you got out there, okay? These are people that don't have jobs. If they had jobs, they wouldn't be able to do what they're doing. So these, most of them are people that don't have jobs except for the school teachers, and I hope to God they fire every one of them when this is over. Every one of them has been arrested. I hope they get them. They fire them. They've done got a principal been fired in one state because he got out hollering after the police. And I'll tell you another thing that makes me mad. You go in front of my church hollering, F you, Jesus. F your Jesus. You're going to find out what a holy war is. I promise you that. I mean, I am sick of this. It's disgusting. Can we move on? I want tonight to pay tribute to these officers that have fallen since January 1st here in the United States. I want you to listen to the names. I want you to let them sink in where they're from. And I want you to, and this is not all of them. These are the ones that were murdered. But I want you to listen and see how long it takes me to read through this. And I won't poke. I won't poke around about it. I'll go as quickly as I can. But I think we owe these ladies and gentlemen the respect and honor of at least recognizing them one time. New York State Police, New York. That was the wrong one. Public Safety Officer Jackson Ryan Winkler, Florence Regional Airport Department of Public Safety, killed by gunfire. Officer Tiffany Victoria Baron Enriquez, Honolulu Police Department, Hawaii. Officer Kaluki Kalana, Honolulu Police Department, Hawaii. They were killed the same day. Probably the same incident. Officer Alan Daniel McCollum, Corpus Christi Police Department, Texas. Vehicular assault. They used a vehicle to kill him. Deputy Sheriff Richard Edward Witten, Liberty County Sheriff's Office, Texas. Cause of death, gunfire. Police Officer Nick O'Rear, Kimberly Police Department, Alabama. Cause of death, gunfire. Florida Highway Patrol, Florida. Cause of fire, Trooper Joseph John Bullock. Cause of death, gunfire. We're just getting started, people. The next one, Officer David Killywood, White Mountain Apache Tribal Police Department, Territory, cause of death, gunfire. Corporal Andrew J. Gillette, Sumter County Sheriff's Office, South Carolina. Cause of death, gunfire. Corporal Brant William Perry Shrimshire, Hot Springs Police Department, Arizona. Cause of death, gunfire. Sergeant James R. O'Connor, the fourth, Philadelphia Police Department, Pennsylvania. Cause of death, gunfire. Wayne County Sheriff's Office, Michigan. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry about that. Trooper Nolan James Sanders, North Carolina Highway Patrol, North Carolina. He died of an automobile crash, but I don't know why I've got him marked there. I apologize. But he did die in service. Sergeant Ben Jenkins, Nevada Highway Patrol, Nevada. Cause of death, gunfire. Phoenix Police Department, Arizona. Cause of death, Commander Greg Carnickle, gunfire. Texas Department of Criminal Justice, Institution Division. Corrections Officer I.V. Kelvin D. Wilcher. That was a COVID one, I'm sorry. There's so many on here, I'm trying to go through and just get these that were murdered. Officer Brennan Leith, Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, Indiana. Cause of death, gunfire. Chicago Police Department, Illinois. I messed up again. San Marcos Police Department, Texas. Police Officer Justin Putnam. Cause of death, gunfire. Okay. Police Officer Christopher Eric Ewing, Smyrna Police Department, Georgia. Cause of death, vehicular assault. San Diego Police Department, California. Police Officer Dan Walters. Cause of death, gunfire. Okay. Deputy Sheriff John Andrew Roden, Bell County Sheriff's Office, Texas. Sunday, April 26th of 2020, cause was struck by a vehicle. I haven't put them all in there, but it seems to me that I remember that was a suspicious one. Okay, that's the only reason I put that one in there. There's a lot of officers get struck by vehicles, and I know that it happens, but it seems like there's a lot of them over the last year. Overland Park Police Department, Kansas. Police Officer Michael S. Mosher. Cause of death, gunfire. This is a little emotional reading. If you've done anything in law enforcement, this is like your brothers. Okay, these are the people that died before George Floyd's death, okay? And what I want to point out to you, there was, I think, let me see. I had one that I had marked that I read that wasn't, and I told you about it. So instead of 21, there was 20 up until May 28th. Actually, May 25th. Okay. Then we start out again. Police Officer Cody N. Holt, Grand Forks Police Department, North Dakota. Cause of death, gunfire. Police Officer Nathan James Lyday, Ogden Police Department, Utah. cause of death, gunfire. Fort Bend County Constable's Office, Precinct 4, Texas, cause of death, gunfire. Deputy Constable Caleb Daniel Rule was his name. Police Officer Waldis J. Johnson, Detroit Police Department, Michigan. Cause of death, gunfire. Lieutenant Stephen P. Williams, Moody Police Department, Alabama. Cause of death, gunfire. Alexander Police Department, Arizona. Officer Scott Hutton. Cause of death, gunfire. Inadvertent. That means he got shot during a shootout, and he might not necessarily have been the target, but he still died because of it. Sergeant Damon Gutzwaller, Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office, California. Cause of death, gunfire. Monroe County Sheriff's Office, Michigan. Animal Control Officer Darren May Young. Cause of death, vehicular assault. This is so big, I had to put it in two volumes, so I'm still going. Simpson County Sheriff's Office, Mississippi, Deputy Sheriff James H. Blair. Cause of death, gunfire. Wildlife Officer Julian King Jr., Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, Florida. Cause of death, gunfire. Police Officer Destin Legeza, Brenton Police Department, Tennessee. Cause of death, vehicular assault. I think some of my paper clips turned off. I had these where I didn't have to flip through extra pages. Sergeant Craig Vincent Johnson, Tulsa Police Department, Oklahoma. Cause of death, gunfire. Toledo Police Department, Ohio. Police Officer Anthony Dia. Cause of death, gunfire. Let me go through it to you. McAllen Police Department, Texas. Police Officer Eldemiro Garza, Jr. Cause of death, gunfire. Police Officer Ismael Chavez, McAllen Police Department, Texas. Cause of death, gunfire. Bothell Police Department, Washington. Cause of death for Officer Johnson, Officer Jonathan Shoup, gunfire. We're seeing a pattern here, are we not? United States Department of Justice, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, U.S. Cause of death, gunfire, inadvertent. Okay. Trooper Caleb Starr, Michigan State Police, Michigan. Cause of death, vehicular assault. Beaumont Police Department, Texas. Police Officer Sheena De Yarborough Powell. Cause of death, vehicular assault. Puerto Rico Police Department, Sergeant Ricardo Perez Ortiz. Cause of death, gunfire. Police Officer Brian Brown, Udenham National Police Department, Territory. Cause of death, vehicular assault. Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, Florida. That's the wrong one, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble reading these. Police officer Tamaris Leon Wesley Bohannon, St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, Missouri. Cause of death, gunfire. Wayne County Sheriff's Office, Michigan. Corporal Bryant Theory. Cause of death, assault. New York City, Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Georgia. Captain Stanley Curtis Elrod. Cause of death, vehicular assault. Cleveland Division of Police, Ohio. Detective James M. Skernovitz. Cause of death, gunfire. Lincoln Police Department, Nebraska. Cause of death, gunfire. That was investigator Luis Mario Herrera. Deputy Sheriff Ryan Philip Hendricks. Henderson County Sheriff's Office, North Carolina. Cause of death, gunfire. I remember reading about him. Williamson County Sheriff's Office, Texas. Corrections Officer Susan Ann Roberts. She passed away of COVID. I don't know why I read that one. There's a lot in here, folks. I'm going to tell you how many died of COVID after a while. Sergeant Alvin R. Serganis LeBron, Puerto Rico Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, Puerto Rico. Cause of death, gunfire. Now, that gives us a total of just after George Floyd was killed, 28 officers murdered since May the 25th, the first day of the George Floyd riots. That gives us 28 officers murdered. But there's four more on the back. I'll explain that in a minute. But then there's some others I want to recognize because I love my canine. K-9 Hondo, Herman City Police Department, Utah, cause of death, gunfire. People don't realize, but these dogs, when you kill one of these dogs, you're killing an officer and you get the same penalties. You can get the death penalty. K-9 Blue, DeKalb County Sheriff's Office, Georgia, cause of death, gunfire, inadvertent. K-9 Roscoe, Anderson County Sheriff's Office, South Carolina, cause of death, gunfire. Tacoma Police Department, Washington, K-9 Ranja, cause of death, gunfire. And then there's K-9 Blue, Gwinnett County Police Department, Georgia, cause of death, gunfire. We've had a total of 49 officers and 5 canines murdered in this country. And to the families, my heart reaches out. But we're going to do something about this, Deb. We've got to. You know, I look at this world and the disrespect these officers are getting, the way they're getting killed. And that's not counting the 700 that was injured severely or in some way up to mid-June. That's not counting them. That's not counting all the officers that had their sight put out with these lasers they've used. It's not counting the officer that had his back chopped up. I don't know if you've seen that picture or not, him with his back all chopped up, because he didn't shoot a man with a knife. You know, they've got them where they're afraid. Some of them are afraid to even defend themselves. And if I got to that point, I'd just have to get out of the street. I'd have to say, well, if nobody else is going to get behind me, then I'm just going to make a day of it and I'm done. I'll take my family and go somewhere else where people will stand up. And I swear, I mean, they've already seen all these early retirements and everything, and officers quitting. They should be getting a clue, you know. But they want that. They don't want as many officers. They shut the police academy down in New York. You know, with 400 and something retirements coming in a day, requests coming in a day, they shut the academy down. That makes a lot of sense, unless you don't want no police. And you know the mayor of New York does not want police. He said it. But he wants them to protect his house and to protect him. He's got his own protective detail. It's the same as Lori Lightfoot up in Chi-Town. She wants Chicago. She wants somebody to protect her, but she don't care about protecting you. And you go to these politicians' houses, they don't believe in walls until it comes to their property. You know, when Lightfoot's house was threatened, and the people was out there, who did she get to get her out? The very place she wants to get rid of. But I guarantee you, folks, she won't get rid of hers. That's the way it works in a communist socialist republic. And these people that's doing this are wicked. They're evil. And you might think they're great, and you might think they're good. And, you know, well, I ain't going to say who it was funded by, but, you know, that lady got caught bringing the weapons in a U-Haul. She brought weapons and shields into a U-Haul and got caught on tape doing it. They traced the truck rental back to her. And she's a person that runs a bail system to get these hoods out of jail, these thugs, these thieves, these murderers, to get them out of jail. And you'll never guess who they who owns that. But I think we've got something on that, don't we, Deb? Didn't we find a publication that said who owned that?
You know, boy, that was heart wrenching, Bill. I'm trying to pull myself together from that. You can tell that you have your history and spirituality and God. So, it turns out I just started on the research when you had spoken to me about it before the show. It's Holly Zoller is the woman's name. She's the organizer for the Bail Project, BAIL, where they bail these prisoners or people that have been arrested out. The group is called Books, B-O-O-K-S, to Prisoners. And that is the post-millennial publication I was reading. It's packed full of goodies. There's a lot of Twitter video showing the very items coming out, the riot gear and banners and all of the things they use to riot coming out of the U-Haul on video. And then they're showing on the streets later on when they were in full use. There's what we got going, and I think there's a bigger backer, if you know what I mean. There's bigger backers.
Didn't the post-millennials say there was?
Well, they talked about her being involved in the Books to Prisoner movement and the Bail Project to get these people out of jail. And I want to know why we are. Why are we so excited about putting all this money into getting these people out to let them back out on the street to burn some more, to block our roads?
Well,
more,
look who's getting them out. Hey. Look who's getting them out. I'm not talking out of terms. I'm talking facts. I'm not talking politics here, folks. I want you to know this. I'm not talking politics. I'm not supposed to talk politics, but I'm going to lay it right on the line what we've been seeing on the news. The Biden-Harris campaign, their staffers have been bailing them out. The Hollywood elites, the pedophiles in Hollywood's been bailing them out. The anti-government view people have been bailing them out. You look at where the money's coming from. and you watch, and I guarantee you, I can't say the name, but you're going to find out there's an old Nazi war criminal that's allowed here to live here in the United States, I think in New York, and he's the one, I believe, that's going to be the one that finally, when they track that money down, they're going to find out that he's the one that owns that bail project. Because I saw something, and I can't remember where I saw it, so I won't say his name. But you can figure it out for yourself. And, you know, they're coming in here. They're paying to have cops killed. We found out the other day that the police have a bounty on their head. We already knew we had bounties on our heads. You know, any patriot that goes out the street to try to stop this, I was told the bounty was $5,000, and if you was a leader like me, it was $10,000. Okay, but have fun collecting it, because I've had people come after me before, and I don't back down, and I don't run from a gun. So I don't want to have to kill nobody, but if they come at me, Deborah, I will do what I got to do to stay on this earth a little bit longer. And if that means I have to pull a trigger, I'll pull a trigger. I don't want to do that. That's not what we're about in this organization. You know, we try to go in peacefully and maintain things as long as we can. But if you hurt an officer, you hurt one of us, you go to hurt somebody else, then you've got to deal with us. And whatever measure that's justified is that measure that we'll take. If it's grapple you to the ground, if it's to drag you off to the police, but if you raise a weapon toward us or somebody else, then you bought yourself a ticket, a one-way one. And We're not guys to fool around. You know, we've got a lot of Leos and ex-military people. Some of these guys have been over in the desert. Some of them have been in Nam. But I tell you what, don't. That's the worst person you want to mess with, somebody who's come out of Nam. They might be a little older, but they're 10 times as crazy as you can think of being. And they'll take care of business. But, you know, we looked at these live feeds last night, and I want to get on them a little bit. After we heard about the officer being shot, the two officers being shot and everything, we got on the live feeds when we got off. And most people don't know it, but you're on the other coast, and we worked and things like that. And we put in sometimes 18-hour days, don't we? 20-hour days.
Yeah.
We put in all-nighters before, you know.
3 hours. Yeah.
The nice thing is, you know, I've got a woman I'm working with, my wife's not jealous of. Okay. I've never seen her, you know. But, no, my wife's not that bad. But I'm just joking with that. You know, when Brashear said that, you know, all the people are racist, that just smacked me. That really smacked me. Because down here where I'm at, we don't care what color you are. We don't care, you know, where you come from. As long as you assimilate, you know, to the American way of life, and as long as you're willing to work hand in hand with us, we're willing to work hand in hand with you. We've got the good neighbor thing cornered. You know, if I got a good neighbor, I help him out. And when I need help, he comes helps me out. And that's the way it is down here. And we don't look at, you know, are you Indian or are you, you know, black or are you white or are you yellow or what? We don't look at that. There's one family here that, other than politics, the guy's like a brother to me. We can't get along on politics, so I love him to death, and he's black. I know his whole family. I love them all to death, you know. And we get along. We do things together, you know. And I couldn't been cutting my fields with a bush hog since my house burnt and they stole my equipment. If it hadn't been for him, he brought me a bush hog, set of disc and plows down here. He said, just hang on to them, use them as much as you need them. That's a good neighbor, you know. And we don't look at people and see colors. I'd be in hard shape if I did because I'd be a rainbow. But, you know, after filing all these months, they've let the police start arresting people. They said just a while ago with the guy that shot the two police officers that they've made 128 arrests last night. Now, my question is, will they keep it up or will they pull the police back again? You know, will they get enough oranges, as we talked about last night, to put the guard out there and arm them and let them take care of this business? People have spent fortunes in Louisville. It's an old city. It's a river city. It's a frontier city. And they're letting these people come in and tear down these old buildings that have been rehabbed and refurbished and everything. They're letting them tear down the modern buildings and burn them up. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You go down through Louisville and there's plywood everywhere, you know, where there was plate glass windows. Yeah, there would be an occasional shooting, or there'd be, you know, a fight, or there would be, you know, somebody stabbed or something. But, I mean, this is an every hour thing now. And for Brashear to get up and call us racist, when most of that trouble is coming, or at least half that trouble is coming from out of town. These people, Dan Bongino said it himself on his podcast. He said these people are not protesters. They're paid anarchists. He said that they were staying in the hotel he was staying in. He said it's not a cheap hotel. He said they saw three of them walking out the next morning that had been on the street harassing them the night before. You don't go like these people do and act like you do and have money. Somebody's giving it to you. Now, we've seen different things, advertisements in different places, stuck up on poles, everything else. Antifa, $200 a day, you break a window. I even got one on my email one time trying to get me to do it. $250 a day if you trash somebody's car. $300 a day if you set a building on fire. That's what these people's making. They have no incentive to work. They're too lazy to work. They're thugs. They're basement dwellers, and they're terrorists coming in from overseas, just like the guy got his testicle blowed off with a rubber bullet. He came in from South Australia. They're training down there with terrorists in South Africa. They're training with them in the Middle East, and they're training with them down here in Louisiana. And if any of you swamp rats are listening, when you're riding through, see if you can't spot their base and get a hold of me. I want to know where they at. That's all I got to say. I want to know where they at. We'll take care of them there. I want to know, where are these people's hiding? Because sooner or later, they're going to have to crawl back in their hole. And, they're going to think it's all safe and sound. And it's not going to be until this is over. I mean, terrorists have attacked our country. And we need to drag every one of them out by the heel, stomp them in the ground, and then turn them over to the police. And if the police finds them, I hope they do the same thing. It's different rules when you're dealing with terrorists. You know, and when you're overseas, you're bound by the Geneva Convention. Well, I tell you what, in Kentucky, you keep coming, there is no Geneva Convention. If you want to look back at our history, look at the Hatfields and McCoys. And that's all I'm going to say on that fact. But, the former leader of the Louisville NAACP was on Laura Ingraham last night. And he said, this is the former leader of the NAACP. He said, there's nothing those officers did was wrong. They were serving a warrant that they were duty bound to serve. They only shot after they were shot at. Now, this falls into question with what's going on this one, that they've got the three charges of first degree, wanton endangerment. Because, wait a minute, if he was shot at, he should be underneath the same protection as these other officers. It shouldn't be a question. And it's just really disturbing that, you know, if you're ever in a breach of door situation, Philip talked about that last night. When you go through that door, one of your guys gets shot, somebody shoots you, you start firing in the direction of that shot. you don't have time to, you know, take your time to aim and, you know, get it right, pinpoint. So, you know, you hit him right in the chest or whatever. You've got to try to stop that individual. And until you've been in a firefight, you have no clue. We had officers down here in Kentucky. There was like, I think, something like 68 rounds one time shot before anybody was hit. Because you're ducking, you're trying to stay out of the way of the bullets and trying to fire back. And it's not that easy, folks. These guys are under a lot of pressure, and they're protecting you. They're protecting you. They're protecting those people in that neighborhood. The neighbors said they announce themselves before they come in, before they knock the door open, that they were the police. And then this leader, the NAACP, the former leader, he said that after they were fired upon, and an officer was hit, was when they was fired. He said he, nor the late Martin Luther King, nor the late John Lewis, would approve of these riots. You know, if you go back to Martin Luther King, he got more done for black people than anybody in the world. He really did. And he really led people through it. And I remember the busing riots and all that stuff growing up here in the South. And it wasn't a pretty thing. I can remember school buses full of white and black children being turned over on their sides by the mobs with the kids in them. It's sad when the former leader of the Louisville chapter of the NAACP says the officers did nothing wrong and that there was not major issues that were prevalent in Louisville until this politically motivated attack on America began. Yet our governor stands up and calls all Kentuckians racist. What is wrong with him? I mean, I want to give you a little excerpt out of what Dan Bongino had said. Dan had said, these are not protests. We saw three of them walking out of our hotel. It was not a cheap hotel. It was not a protest. These are paid, organized people being paid to destroy our country. And the only way we're going to stop them, folks, if we get together. That's the only way we're going to do it. Riders hijacked a U-Haul truck to transport weapons. Well, they didn't hijack it. They rented it, I found out later. The first report was they had hijacked it. But they had rented a U-Haul truck to transport protest signs and weapons and shields. And the demonstrations turned so violent overnight, there was had to be a curfew imposed until 6 a.m. Last night we watched riots in our nation's capital, Deb. We watched them march through the urban housing area, disturbing the peace, keeping people awake because they thought they was having a fit, a mob having a fit of unruly children because justice in Kentucky did not give them what they wanted. And I just want to say one last thing. Those people in Washington, D.C., I bet you I can count on the fingers of one hand, not counting the thumb, and I'd have plenty left over, that those people never even heard of or know who Breonna Taylor is. I want to play this piece of music. We do not own the copyright to it, but I want to play this piece of music tonight in honor of these fallen officers.
Thank you for listening. God bless you. God bless you, Deb. God bless the United States of America.
God bless you, Bill, and America.